see. Any other announcements I need to make? I don't think so. I was going to say some other stuff, but we're good on that. Take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 10. Every few seconds, I catch this smell from that anointing oil. It's a frankincense and myrrh. And I keep thinking, man, what is that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I did that anointing. And then it kind of put me in that place where, you know, Mary poured the oil out on Jesus. And, you know, it was just a few days prior to him being in the crucifixion. And she didn't just put, that was just on my finger. She poured it over him. So in his hair, and you know, like when the wind would turn a certain way, he would smell that. And I just thought, man, that is so cool. As I was sitting there, I'm like, man, what, that is amazing. The reason I brought that up, as far as I figured, is do stuff for Jesus that's going to last past the day or two. Do some stuff for Jesus that'll last, that'll stick around, that'll linger. Acts chapter 10, I'm going to preach about a man. I'm going to do a four-part series. So the next four Sundays, we're going to do a four-part series. The last part of the series will be very uncomfortable for us, for the most part. So I'm going to build up to that. It's exciting to me. I'm not uncomfortable with it too much, but it'll be kind of uncomfortable because it gets into areas in the Scriptures that we don't really feel real safe with sometimes. It'll be dealing with the Holy Spirit and the being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So y'all have that to look forward to. Some of y'all won't wait. Y'all just wait and come to the last one. But anyway, Acts chapter 10. Y'all ready? Did I give y'all enough time to find Acts chapter 10? Did any of you have to go to the table of contents? Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? This is called We're Not Gatekeepers. This series will be We're Not Gatekeepers. The first part of the series is Cousin Cornelius, all right? Cousin Cornelius. When I say the name Cornelius, you wouldn't right now, but maybe in the future, you get real excited about Cornelius, okay? When somebody says the name Cornelius or you think about the name Cornelius, a lot of people in the Bible, let me say it this way. You know Peter? Do you know James? Do you know John? Do you know them? Do you know Paul? Do you know Silas? Probably know that one. Do you know Jesus? All right, good. Them are some big names, right? But when I say Cornelius, you know what? That should be better and different to us than all those names combined. Do you know that? In this room, other than Jesus, I know somebody spiritual is going to meet me at the door and said, "I ain't no name better than the name of Jesus." You're right. But I want you to hear this. I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to it, it'll be Jesus. And then to us in this room, Cornelius should be kind of important. Amen? Cornelius is the first man saved that's a Gentile after the New Testament has been established through the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Well, what I mean by that is we're stepping into faith because Cornelius cracked the door open and swung the gate open wide for all of us. Amen? Cornelius came through as a Gentile who didn't belong. I'm about to mess church up this for you this morning for you. I want to make this very clear for everybody sitting in this room. There is nobody in here that would be able to get into heaven except through the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ. There's not one person in here good enough to get into heaven outside of Jesus forgiving them of their sins and dying for them on Calvary's cross. There's not one good person in here. There's not a person in here that is the gatekeeper to heaven. There's not a person in here who can say, they can stand at that door and say, "You don't need to come in." There's not a person that can sit in this church and when you walk through those doors can say, "I can't believe they get to come in here." You know who's the most welcome guest in this church every Sunday? It's somebody who sinned unforgivable in front of all of us. And you know why? Because we were the same way before God. You are the most valuable guest in our home, in our church home. You are welcome here. You're on level ground here. You're in the best place you could ever be. It's right where Calvary's at, and that makes us all equal. Amen. That's a beautiful place. Because sometimes when we get in church, we can forget where we came from. We forget who we were. We can forget that it took all the blood of Jesus Christ to get into heaven for us too. I don't care if you stole a 5-cent pack of chewing gum or a piece of gum at the store. I don't care if you told a little white lie. I don't care if I don't care what you've done. You're just as guilty as the person who is a murderer and a rapist before God. Whoo! If you would have tried to stand before God in your own righteousness, you would have said, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Amen? But you know what? When I got to studying this Cornelius, he kind of blew me away. Because you know what? Sometimes in the church, we can put emphasis on big testimonies. We'll think if you had an addiction or if your life was so bad and so miserable and so off the rails that nobody wanted to touch you but Jesus, then guess what? That's a big testimony. And you know what? You know what's not a big testimony? I was raised in church. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do a lot of things. Got saved, got born again. Then I came to church, served in church, served in ministry the rest of my life. I done pretty good. You know what? We think that second one is somehow very limited to God. Oh, well, they didn't really need as much as the other. But man, let me tell you something about this. You know, the first Gentile that got in makes us as Christians look bad? Oh, y'all don't believe me? Let's get into it. I'll show you. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. That means he was over about 100 people. Of the band called the Italian band. He was in the Italian military band. That's what he wanted to get. A cohort. In verse 2, a devout man. Underline that. He was very religious. He was very consistent. He was very, if you found him most of the time, if you found him, he was doing something right. You might have wanted to write that down. Right there on that devote, he was doing something right. Let me ask you a question real quick. What's pumped the brakes right there? Can I ask you a question? When you were lost, could it be said of you that most of the time you were found doing something right? Yeah, me either. A devout man and one that feared God with all of his house. Not only did he fear God, but he had lived in such a way that everybody in his house feared God. Well, man, no, listen. Let me break this down to you. This guy's not saved. This guy's not born again. This guy's pretty good. He's pretty good without God. He kind of blowing me away in this thing. I'm sitting here, wait a minute. He's a devout man. He fears God. I want to tell you this. There's a lot of Christians who live today that doesn't fear God. We don't fear him the way we should. We don't reverence the way we should. Praise God. It said that he lived in such a way that he feared how God thought about him and how he considered him, and that passed on down to his children. And he wasn't even saved. Wait a minute. He feared God with all of his house. Watch this right here. Man, it's going to get better for you. Listen. Which he gave much alms. What? He gave to the church. He gave to the ministry. He gave to God stuff. He wasn't saved yet. Is this a pretty good list? Are y'all, some of y'all sitting here thinking like I was when I was reading this? I'm like, my goodness, he's doing better than most of us before he got saved. I mean, I'm saved and born again, and he's almost making me look pretty bad. What's right here? Gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. God, y'all are so special. He's on the holy hookup line every day. Hey, Jesus. Hey, God. It's me. I know we don't have a relationship yet. I know I'm not saved yet. I know I'm not born, but I just want to talk to you. He prayed always. This guy is talking to God all the time, and he's not even in faith yet. Man, if you weren't careful, if you're not careful, this is the first person in the house of faith that's like us, who's a Gentile. This guy right here is living a pretty good life. Amen? He's giving to the church and praying every day, all the time, and all of a sudden, that's his list. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I need to get on the Cornelius list. Now I've got the Holy Spirit that dwells in me, and I've got to be forced to give sometimes. I'll just let it sink in. Y'all be mad at me. Y'all get mad at me right on the way home, talk about that one. Because I know y'all don't have that problem at all. God sometimes, he's got to put it on me sometimes. I'll get all spiritual, and I'll see somebody, and God will say, give them your money. I mean, God will say, there will be a situation, there will be something. God will say, give them your money. And I'm sitting there arguing God, who gave me the money. Oh, God, listen, you know, that guy right there, he's bad news. He's probably going to waste it. Tell him I love him, give him the money, drive on. Amen? And then I start going, but wait a minute, he'll probably waste it. He'll probably buy alcohol and drugs with it. Then God comes right back over the time. How many times have I blessed you and you've wasted it? Well, Lord, we ain't got to get into all that. I was just having a conversation. I'll give the man the money. I ain't no problem with it. Jesus loves you and I do too. I had to add that last part. I didn't really love him because I wasn't even going to help him. Jesus loves you. He won't tell me to give you this. And you know what? Hey, brother, I'm going to do that. I don't care what to do with it. That's how God does us. Amen. When God really presses your heart, praise God, you say, I'm telling you, man, there's been times where I'm like, I would never do that. I ain't giving it. God said, yeah, you will. Yes, you will. You will do it or else. Amen. And then he's praying all the time. My gosh, man, talking to the Lord. Man, he's praying all the time. Man, listen, you know what's so impressive about that? Because that's those two things right there work against your flesh more than any other two things, giving and prayer. I'm being honest with you. If you really want a powerful walk with God, start praying more. But you want all hell to come against you, start praying more. Amen? I'm being honest with you. Get yourself a place in prayer. Say tomorrow you're going to start praying at 6. You're going to pray from 6 to 6:15 nonstop. I guarantee you, every person you know, everything will be happening from 6 to 6:15. Amen? The time you shut the door on the closet, where you get on your face to pray, wherever you're at, you'll get 3 texts, a call, some emergency will happen, and the kids will run in. Or just, you know what? Learn how to do this. If you come in here when I'm praying, I'm going to be praying over you. I'm going to latch onto you and pray onto you 15 straight minutes. Amen? I'll pray the devil out of you. You come in here again. Amen? Learn how to pray. Learn how to pray like that. Verse 3, he saw it. Listen, watch this right here. Verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. You know what's cool about this? Cornelius is fasting and praying and seeking the Lord's will in his life. He's not saved yet. He's a good man. But you know when God shows up? Mark, this messed my world up. God showed up at 3 p.m., 3 o'clock in the afternoon, God showed up, Chris. I mean, couldn't it be special? Couldn't it be 12 o'clock at night and be all mystical? Couldn't it be like first thing in the morning when the sun rises, God's in the sunrise? Could he not send an angel like, boom, be all? It's 3 p.m. You know what's going on at 3 p.m.? Who knows? Life. Could have been in a nap, Scott. You're right. But praise God, I mean, there's a lot of things that couldn't be happening at 3 p.m., but God dispatched an angel at 3 p.m. Why is that important to you, and why is it important to me today? It says God can operate anytime he feels like it. If God wants to do something holy and spiritual and out of this world, he'll do it at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon. God will walk right up in your life, rock your whole world, while the rest of the world's going about their business. Man, somebody just lean over. I know we ain't that kind of church, but lean over to your husband or your friend to the left or right of you and go, man, that's pretty cool. I meant you. Do it for Brady. It's pretty cool. Thank you. I tell these kids to do stuff. They'll never do it. But I'm just going to be honest. That's pretty cool, Gene. When I got to thinking about it, you know when I got saved? Saturday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. That's when I got saved, on a Saturday, about 4 o'clock. Ain't that amazing? God will show up whenever he feels like it. God will just show up whenever he feels like it. Here's Cornelius raining prayers through heaven. Not the midnight hour, not laying in the bed when everything's all quiet, not at the peak pristine sunrise morning out on the shoreline, nothing like that. You know what? He's probably about to have his own, I'm going to sit down at the table, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God shows up and says, hey, Cornelius. Man, I don't know about you, but that's God. I've spent a lot of time with God since I've been saved, and there's been times where God just jumps into my life whenever he feels like it, and it's the most inopportune places. I've been riding down the road, and God will jump in the van with you, or jump in the truck with you, or jump in the car with you, and just ride with you for a minute. You know what I tell God when he does that? God, you are living dangerous! There is no reason for you to get in this car while I'm driving like I am, and you dump the Holy Spirit down on me. Praise God, you're going to kill us both. I can't even see. I'm crying so hard. Then you got me pulled over on the side of the road acting a fool where the whole world, what's wrong with him? That's what God does. God is a big God. He don't mind to wreck your little life if you really want him. If you really want him. Some of y'all tell me, oh, I got Jesus. Know what you got? Y'all have heard me preach this before. You got yourself a spare tire God. You do. You break him out in case of emergency. You pull over on the side of the road, open your trunk, throw all your junk out on the side of the road because it's a mess and it's an emergency. Then you pull out Jesus and you try to put him on your life because it's an emergency. I'm going to tell you right now, God will be in your life 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year if you'll give him the good just like you do the bad. If you'll give him the good parts of your life, he will stand right there in the emergency. You won't have to beg him to show up. He'll be there. You won't have to wonder where is that. Some of you go, where's God? Why didn't God? Why God? Praise God, when you really know him, he'll say, he's right here. I'm going to be honest with you. We've walked through some hard times together as a church, and I ain't never said, where's God, Dad? I've always said, why? God, I look in and say, God, you're going to have to help me get through this. Is there anybody else who've had to say this? God, this will be you walking. This will be you talking. It ain't going to be me, God. Because if I say something right now, it's going to be out of sorts. If I do something right now, it's going to be bad. God, it's got to be you. Man, ain't you glad he shows up? And if you think I'm talking about trouble, I'm talking about when your heart's been crushed. I'm talking about when your heart's been mashed to the floor and you don't know how you're going to get it together. That's when God sits down with you. That's when he says, man, I've sat in 2 or 3 different places in my life, into the driveway, into the road, crying my eyes out, going, God, how am I going to get up from this? Because I'm going to get you up. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to walk you through this. If you've lost a mom or a daddy or a husband or a wife, you know what I'm talking about. Praise God, when you know, you'll know. And he'll pick you up. You know what he'll do next month? He'll pick you up again. You know what he'll do the next year? He'll pick you up again. You know what's amazing? You think grief's going to be over when the funeral's over. Grief will come get you the next Christmas, 3 Christmases down the road, an Easter celebration. Down at the heart, I mean, you're sitting there going, wait a minute, everybody's, we're supposed to be over this by now. And God will sit right there with you. I'm here with you. I still love you. We'll walk through it. Goodness, ain't you glad God shows up when your feelings are crushed? Man, somebody else could preach this better than I am. I know you could. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he shows up. Watch this, right in the 9th hour, and the angel of God coming in to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. I underline that little part right there where it says Cornelius. Why is that important? Okay, let me tell it this way. Angels are not speakers of their own. They speak for God. They're messengers. So guess what was going on in heaven when that angel got dispatched? Go talk to, put your name right there. Is there anybody in here saved, born again? Is there anybody in here saved, know you're on your way to heaven? You know what? One day God sent your name out across the line. Amen? Go get Kevin. Go get Ed. Amen. Go get Melissa. Amen. Ain't that something? Go get Peyton. He's out there. Amen. Why ain't that? Go get Lamar. He's out there. Ain't that amazing? That has to come off the lips of God. Imagine an angel standing there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Cornelius, Lord sent me down here. Golly bum. Some of y'all are so cool. If an angel showed up at your house, you'd have everybody in 20-mile radius over at your house. Just looking where they stood. He stood right there. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" God, I love this stuff. That's the Bible, man. He said, listen, the angel showed up and he said, "Cornelius." He said, "What is it, Lord?" God. When God talks to you, you know who it is. I love people, atheists, agnostic, all that. No, you wait and see. There are going to be times in your life you know who exactly who God is. God formed you, designed you, and made you. And when he shows up, praise God, you'll know exactly who to call him. Amen? You'll call him God. And if you won't call him God here, you'll call God. You'll call him God when you stand before him. When your face is pressed against the ground, standing at the feet of Jesus, you'll call him Lord and Savior, whether you go to heaven or hell. Amen? Woo! Listen right here. Watch this. He said, what, Lord? And watch this. He said unto him, it's going to blow some of you away. Watch this right here. Donnie, watch this. And he said unto him, thy prayers, ain't that good? And thine alms are come up before a memorial to God. There was other lists there. There's some more lists there, but only two of them got recognized by God. What was it? How he gave and how he talked to God. How you give and how you talk to God. That's what came before him. Amen? Ain't that amazing? How are you giving and how are you talking to God? Not enough or not enough? Amen. Whew. Lord help us. Amen? I'm just telling you, I didn't make this up. I didn't make that up. That's in the Word, ain't it? Let me read verse 4 real slow for you. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before a memorial before God." You know why he didn't come by the Holy Spirit? Because he couldn't come by the Holy Spirit because a man didn't have the Holy Spirit. He had to send an angel for the first Gentile. If you're going to find out, we'll get in this series. Peter gets visited, but guess who Peter gets visited by? Holy Spirit. This guy don't know Jesus, so he sends an angel as a messenger. Ain't that neat? Verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Wait a minute, verse 5, we go right here. Hey, your prayers are good and your giving is good. Ain't that enough? But then guess what? He goes right into the plan. He goes, right, man, y'all might want to write this down. You better be willing to change some stuff. If you ever want to get into heaven, if you ever want to go to heaven, if you want to see Jesus, you better be willing to change when God shows up. Amen? You better. I don't care if your list looks 10,000 times better than every Christian you know's list. I don't care if you outwear Christians out in your activity. But praise God, when this man was said, okay, Lord, what do we got to do here? These things came up before God. I want you to send some men to Joppa. Here's how we're going to change everything. I love that. Now he send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Ain't it weird that he's got to send a man and he's already got a conversation going with God? Ain't that something? Wait a minute. Why has God got to intervene with Peter? Why don't he just go ahead and get it done right here? Because we are the ones who are rewarded with the work of the gospel. If you don't know this, the church is the one who's supposed to be sharing the gospel. That's the only marching orders we have. We don't have any other marching orders. We're supposed to present the gospel to every living creature on the face of this planet and make disciples. That's it. Amen? What's this right here? He lodgeth with Simon of Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Can I tell y'all something? Ain't it amazing? Before there was one church building, one committee, one pastor, one group of deacons, for any of that stuff ever happened, praise God. You know what? God knew where everybody was to reach them. He knew where Cornelius was, and he knew where Peter was. So that means he knows where you are, and he knows who to send to you. So if he sends somebody, you better listen. Woo! Ain't that amazing? Before that, all the technology in the world, and God has got a pinpoint GPS on Peter and Cornelius. And we're sitting here in 2022, and we can't figure out what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be reaching lost people for the kingdom of God. And how are we supposed to do that? By leadership of the Holy Spirit. I hear people talking about all kinds of stuff. Do this, don't do that, do this, do this, do that. And they never seek the Holy Spirit of God to lead them in what they're doing. If you don't pray and seek the Holy Spirit of God, do you know Paul wanted to go places and preach and minister, but the Holy Spirit said, you can't go. You don't think Asia Minor was prosperous to God? He said, no, the Holy Spirit pervade him to go. Why? Because he wasn't going to be used there at that time. Praise God, sometimes you just got to wait on God. But when you hear God, go. Go like a wild animal go. I love when he says he knows where, right? If you go find him, send some people down there, he'll tell you what to do. Amen. Verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and devout soldiers of them, and they waited on him continually. And when they had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He dispatched three or four people to go down to get Peter because he was getting ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be saved. The whole part of this message, cousin Cornelius was getting ready to be born again and be the first Gentile and the first Gentiles to come into the kingdom. And God was working on him and he was obedient. Even though he was a good man, he wasn't a saved man. And even though he had already done a lot of great things, he was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. I want you to hear this. I don't care if you're considered a good person or a bad person. If you're not born again saved, here's what you have to do. You have to repent of your sins. We've done this so weird in the church for so long. We've got it down to this one little simple prayer. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to be the Lord of your life. Ask Him to save you. And then you'll be saved. Listen, I love that. I do love that. And if you pray, that's great. But let me tell you this. When you repent of your sins, that's a little bit more different process than you think it is. That's dumping out who you are, who you really are, and how guilty you really are before a holy God. And that ain't good. That ain't easy. But it's so worth it. Amen? And when you dump all that stuff out before God, He'll cover it, cleanse it, and hide it. Amen? So have you ever got under the power of the Holy Ghost? The question is, have you ever been saved right there? When the Holy Ghost pulls you to salvation, when the Holy Spirit comes down and it's the Holy Spirit drawing you, I seen it just a couple of weeks sitting right over here. The Holy Spirit sets down on you. You can't help yourself. You begin to pour out who you are before God. And that ain't an easy process. You just start hemorrhaging who you are. And then you say stuff like this, God, I believe and who you are. All of a sudden, your spirit man links up with who your physical man is, and you realize you really believe. It's kind of overwhelming to the human flesh, amen? And all of a sudden, you realize, I've seen it 1,000 times, maybe, where a person goes, you ask them, what's happening right here? I just got saved. I'm born again. Oh, my God. Just a couple of months ago in Arkansas, there was a little girl come up to me and she says, she was at the very back of the tent. I'd walked out. There were people getting saved all over the place. And the little girl come up to me and she said, I've tried that prayer 1,000,000 times. I don't think it'll work for me. I said, would you be willing to walk up there with me one more time? And she said, I would with you. I said, well, when I walk up there, guess what I'm going to do? She said, what? I'm going to turn you loose to pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She got down on her hands and knees, and I said, I want you to pour out every sin you've ever got before God. Things that you've thought about doing, things that you have done, things that you wanted to do, I want you to pour them out before God. She said, and then what? And I said, I want you to talk to God about forgiving you of those things and being your Savior. All of a sudden, she got through about 4 or 5 words out of her mouth, and next thing you know, she was praying. And next thing you know, she's like, oh, my God. She looked over at me. She goes, I said, what? She goes, I didn't just pray a prayer. Jesus is here. I'm saved. Listen, it's when you get tired and sick and tired of who you are, and you want what he has, it only takes a few words to get in the presence of God. When he knows you're serious and you're sick and tired of it. The day I got saved, I don't even think I knew I was getting saved. I thought I was trying to disqualify myself from getting saved. And the more I repented, the more saved I felt. By the end of the prayer, I was saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, the thing that I'd heard about, the thing I'd talked about, I have. Let's all stand as they come get a song. Do you really have Jesus this morning? Do you really have him? Like Cornelius, You might be living a pretty good life compared to a lot of people. Might work really hard. Might have a lot of success in life. Might be doing a lot of things right. But let me tell you this. Lest a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. If you're not saved and be born again in the Spirit, you'll not enter into heaven, no matter how good you've been, no matter how much good work you've done. As he sings, God's there with your heart. Come to the altar. Come seeking the Lord. If you're born again.